And for those that are visiting, can I say a special welcome to you? You probably not know who I am. I'm George Newell, and one of the staff team here in Willowfield. Let's pray as we turn to God's word this evening. Lord, I pray as we look at a very familiar story, Lord, that you would speak something new into our hearts tonight. Holy Spirit, come, and Lord, in the midst of all this story that we know so well, Lord, may we meet you afresh and anew. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas Day is almost upon us. My counting, we've about just over 25 minutes to go. Presents, hopefully, are all bought. If not, you're probably in trouble. Christmas dinner ready for the oven. There's so much goes on at this time. And in the midst of all the excitement and all the joy and the giving and the receiving of presents and the looking forward to have family and loved ones around us. And of course, within all the joy and all the happiness, there's also, for many, a sense of loneliness and sadness as we miss loved ones that were once there at the Christmas table that are there anymore. There's a loads of emotions go on at Christmas. And in the midst of all this, in the midst of all that's going on in our minds tonight, there's the baby in the manger. The reason we have Christmas in the first place. The baby who the prophet tells us in tonight's reading will bring light into our darkness and life into the land of the shadow of death. The one who will bring joy and rule with justice and righteousness will establish his kingdom that will never end. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. You know, there's something very special about that. A newborn baby. You know, a new life that is really, it's vulnerable. It needs protecting. It needs looking after. Newborn child can do nothing for itself. It's totally dependent on others. You know, if we ever want to be reminded about the preciousness of life, just look at a newborn baby. You know, and as Mary and Joseph looked upon their newborn child in a manger, nothing was different. This child was fragile, vulnerable, helpless. But they also knew that this was no ordinary child. The angels, the miracle of his conception, had made that clear. As John, as we heard in John's reading, we'll go on to say later in life, God became a baby. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. You know, familiarity can mean we can lose something of the wonder of what happened on that first Christmas. The all-powerful became weak. The eternal, self-sustaining being became dependent on earthly parents. The creator of the universe became one of us and entered this world like one of us, born of a woman. How much love does someone need to have for another person to leave the majesty of heaven, entering our world as a vulnerable child, knowing that many would reject this outrageous, uncomprehendable act of love. But that's exactly what God did. And he did that because he longs to be in relationship with all of those he has created, broken and messed up as we are. And Isaiah gives this child, this baby in a manger, four names. Four names to help us grasp the nature of who he really is, to get at least a glimpse of the magnitude of God's love for us, to help us understand who this baby truly is, to get us to look beyond the here and the now, beyond the manger right into eternity. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. You know, while the world around us, at least most of it anyway, is happy to celebrate something around the Christmas time, to welcome the baby in the manger, many struggle equating how Isaiah describes him with their own world comfortable view of a wee baby, meek and mild. The two don't sit very well together. But that's exactly what Isaiah is trying to tell us. See, this child is the Wonderful Counselor. He would teach us all truth. He would guide us into truth. You know, we love the baby in the manger. But him being the one who is truth, and in fact, the only truth, for many today, that's pushing it just a little bit too far. Yet Jesus said he is truth. And if we want to know a truth about ourselves, we want to know truth about life, truth about eternity, truth about God, it only can be found in one person, and that is in him. And that sits uneasy with many today. We're much happier with the baby in the manger. And Isaiah also calls him Mighty God. So easy as we celebrate Christmas to forget the baby in the manger is Almighty God. As Thomas would kneel before the risen Christ, he knew exactly who Jesus was. He says, "My Lord and my God." Yet a God in heaven who is almighty and all-powerful. Some of us aren't so sure about that. If that were true, then why is there so much suffering in the world? Why is there so much pain? Why is there so much evil? It doesn't make sense. But we love the baby in the manger. And Isaiah goes on to give us more insight. He calls him Everlasting Father. You know, Jesus would say to Philip in John 14, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." He is our eternal Father who loves us and longs for us to come close and draw near to him. You know, some today find it difficult viewing God as Father for various reasons. In an ever-changing culture where there's abuse and gender identity and much more that plagues our world, they struggle with a God who longs to come near, who is Father and who is also eternal, but also holds the keys to hell. Far safer and easier to understand and think about a wee baby in a manger. And then the final name that Isaiah gives is Prince of Peace. Now, Jesus would later in life say these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Probably this of the four names that Isaiah says that the world is more comfortable with. Yet again, we get confused because there's not any peace. It's not any peace that Jesus offers. Jesus offers us his peace, which actually involves embracing the other three names. And for many, this is too costly. We'd rather focus on the baby in the manger. There's not that much to challenge us there. I wonder what Mary and Joseph were thinking as they gazed at that vulnerable wee child. The words of the encounters they had with the angels would have been bouncing about in their heads. The shepherds telling their amazing story of the angelic host filling the sky, speaking about their wee boy. And of course, they would add the prophetic words from Holy Scripture, telling them about the Messiah, when he would come, where he would be born, and what his purpose would be. Did they fully understand? No, they didn't, because none of us really fully understand. Yet God had entrusted this child, his son, to their care. And they had faith to trust God and walk into whatever he had laid before them. Christmas Day is almost upon us. Millions of people all around the world will celebrate the birth of Jesus. They will sing their carols. They will hear the scripture readings. And while many will know this baby in a manger as their personal Lord and Savior, many have never discovered that wonderful truth. Have you ever questioned or wondered why so many people don't get who Jesus really is? Maybe tonight you're actually one of them. If you are, you've plenty of company, unfortunately. See, the people of Jesus, they missed it too. They missed who he was. Yet as you go through Scripture, some might say that's near impossible. God had given a pretty clear picture of what the Messiah would be like. He sent prophet after prophet. Jeremiah, Micah, Malachi, Samuel, Isaiah, Hosea, Daniel, Zechariah. The Psalms in numerous places talk about this new king. Zechariah calls him their king. Micah would tell of the birthplace. Psalm 110 describes him as both king and priest. Isaiah 7 gives great insight. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Yet they missed it. Many rejected him as God walked in their midst. Why might that have been? Well, as Christmas Day draws close, I want to make one suggestion. One I believe is actually as prevalent today as it was then. God's people in the time of Jesus, I believe, let their world, their issues, their needs shape their interpretation of Scripture. And that's a dangerous thing to do. They missed the Messiah, the one they were expecting. They needed freedom from the Romans. They wanted their nation back. They wanted a king who would come and rule over them and drive out the Romans. But actually, that wasn't God's main concern. They were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles, a light to the world. Through them would come salvation for all mankind. No earthly king could ever do that. Their expectations were simply too self-centered and too low. And they missed the Messiah amongst them. And you see, for us tonight, the challenge, as we've listened once again to the Christmas story and we'll go on to sing some well-known carols, do we do the same? At least some of the time. Do we miss God speaking into our lives, God moving in our lives, because we believe God thinks like we do? Scripture clearly tells us that's not the case. Because in a sense we interpret the voice and the word of God through our modern culture, through our personal needs, through the popular trends that are going on at this moment. And we interpret Scripture and we interpret Jesus through that. That's a dangerous thing to do because we live in a culture today who does not believe in the supernatural nature of God, for whom nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible. A culture who has no understanding of the big salvation plan of God. I wonder, is this at times how we interpret God and his plan and his word for us? If it is, you see, it limits us seeing, receiving all that God has for us. our expectancy levels of what God is and what God can do just shrink. And when that happens, we don't see the impossible become possible. This Christmas Eve, do we need God by His Holy Spirit to lift the veil of this dark world from our eyes, which stops us walking actually into the fullness that God has for us? And folks, we all have a certain amount of darkness, each and every one of us. We all need more of the light of Christ to shine into the darkness of our lives. You know, Jesus became one of us to die for us so that we could be freed from sin and walk into a new life with Him now and right into eternity. He's not only a wee baby in a manger. He is Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father, and He is Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. Folks, tonight, as Christmas approaches, do we believe that? Do we believe it? Or do we just need some of the darkness lifted from us and the light of Christ to shine into our lives? Please stand as I pray.